Hey friends, how are you doing? Happy Wednesday. Trust you're having a good one. Graham here with my daily-ish update video. And so today's Wednesday, September 28th. Hey, in a moment, I want to share four keys that have really helped me and that I've proved in my life about practicing the presence of the Lord, about living in God's presence all the time. And just some experiences about that. But hey, before I do that, a few housekeeping things as usual. If you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button down there. Check out all the links below. I have a course on offer on, actually on teaching and preaching where it's sort of funny in a way. I see so many folks with a real call of God on their life to teach and preach. And yet at times people have never really thought that through well or been taught or, so I have about a 6-part course where I really just share my heart from years of experience of teaching and preaching and things that will really, really, really help you. So I encourage you to check that out, link below. Many other things though, but lastly, let me mention my email newsletter. It goes out every Friday. It's probably a really great way of keeping in touch with my ministry, the things I am doing, and a few quick events as well. I'm going to be in Sturbridge Worship Center this evening. That's September 28th, doing a night of worship and prophecy. We're doing a similar evening in Palmer, Massachusetts on October the 1st, night of Saturday of this week, night of worship and prophecy. October the 2nd, I'll be in Sturbridge Worship Center, 11 a.m., New England Fellowship, 4 p.m. The next day, Monday, October the 3rd, I'm flying to Dublin, then on to Manchester in the UK. I'm going to be in the UK for about 8 days, Manchester, Liverpool, Wales, and London. So, good. Hope to see some of you there. But let me show some. Let me read a verse. I'm sure many of you will know. But one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 16. Actually, they're all good, aren't they? But in Psalm 16:8, it's all good. But Psalm 16:5 says, "Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. You are my cup. You maintain my lot." Psalm 16:8, David says, "I have set the Lord always before me." I really want to come back to that one in a minute, but I've set is an expression we might use. It's in Texas, they say fix, you know, it's set to fix, to nail down, to put in place. I have set the Lord always before me. Again, I want you to get back to that one in a minute. Excuse the beeping here. In Psalm 16:11, just for the sake of time, David says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And I was just thinking about this today, because God, you know, throughout all eternity, whenever people talk to me about heaven, and I get it, heaven is coming down to the earth and New Jerusalem, the eternal future state with the Lord, you know, streets of gold and mansions and like amazing tasting fruits and all that, I'm not impressed. You know, the joy of heaven is Jesus. He is the desire of the nations. Everything that we ever seek is found in Jesus. I was sharing in a mentoring group yesterday how, you know, talking about overcoming temptation long-term in our life, and, you know, we're all subject to the same things. And I think there's like an underwater and above the line part to that. There's a part of living free from temptation where we should actually think about it, where we should avoid places where we would be tempted. You know, a pizza parlor for me, that might be, you know, whatever that might be for you. But, you know, avoid situations, people, things like that, triggers, if you will. I think there's a part of temptation where we should be praying, like Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer. "Lord, lead us away from temptation. Lead me in paths of life. Lead me away from paths of death." There's a part of temptation you overcome by, you know, willpower, by saying no. But basically, we overcome temptation by finding a greater temptation in Jesus, by finding joy in the face of Jesus, by seeing that he... Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So I think it's so vital we find joy in the face of Jesus. And we're called to live in the presence of God. My point in saying this is the reward of eternity is to be in the Shekinah glory presence of God for all eternity. Now, the really great news is I believe we can live there now. I think most Christians, if they think back, will have times and seasons in their life where, yes, they experienced God and He was so real and so tangible and it was wonderful. And yet I think most Christians, if they're honest, will say it didn't last, it didn't stay there. And, you know, from that, we sometimes draw conclusions that are unbiblical. We say, well, you know, we need to pray for a great revival. We need to be more holy. We need to do this, do that, do the other, and God will give us His presence. And today I want to give you four quick keys, which put these in practice today. This will work today in your life and enable and empower you to live in the presence of God. So, what are they? Come on, key number one is realizing this. You're always in the presence of God. Yeah. Adam and Eve, in a sense, spiritually, were cast out of the presence of God in the garden. And, you know, the writer to the Hebrews talks about the way to the most holy place. There's a way back in. Hallelujah. There's a way back in. Under the old covenant, once a year, one man could come into the presence of God. He had to wear a robe with bells on it so that people could hear if the bells stopped shaking and knew he was dead. He'd have a rope tied on his ankle in case they wanted to pull him back. He had to come into the glory once a year with incense and blood. And hallelujah. The curtain was rent when Jesus cried out in John 19:30, "It is finished." You don't need to send a priest. You don't need a priest. I am not your priest. Maybe a pastor, but I'm not your priest. And you don't need anybody to make a way for us into the presence of God. Why? Because He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He is the way. When He said, "I am the way," He's not saying, "I'm a guide to help you navigate life with philosophy." He literally says, "I'm the door. I am the good shepherd. I'm the way back into the presence of God." So four quick keys. Number one, you right now, your spirit is in the presence of God. Your spirit's in the presence of God as much as Jesus is, because you're in Christ Jesus. You say, "Give me a scripture that says that." 1 Corinthians 6:17, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." You're in heaven right now. You're in the Shekinah glory of God right now. Key number one. Key number two, your soul is not always in the presence of God. For most Christians, their soul is hardly ever in the presence of God. Yeah, it's a bummer, isn't it? But it can change. So here's my point. My soul can be in the glory. My spirit can be in the presence of God, and my soul can be on a Wednesday, really tiring week, and this person, you know, life, and my soul is affected by everything else around me. And just simply pretending that our soul is in the presence of God when it's not is not helpful. Just simply having a kind of theoretical, theological construct that says, "Yes, I'm in the presence of God. I don't feel it, I don't enjoy it, it doesn't do anything for me, but I know I'm in the presence of God." Well, that's actually not very helpful. It might be intellectually satisfying, but it's not really very helpful. What's helpful, I believe, is when we will actually learn to bring our soul in line with our spirit. And I'll tell you how to do that in the next key. Come on. Key number three, Acts 3:19 to 21 actually gives us three keys. It says, "Repent, believe, and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord." So, people always mishear me when I go on this one. Not you, but the other folks. We should live a lifestyle of repentance. Repentance is not a one-time offer. It's a lifestyle of turning from. And repentance doesn't just mean turning from, it means turning to. So we repent from, but we repent towards. And there should be this ongoing walk in our life where we're turning from the old and turning for the new. Secondly, believe. We need to believe we're in the presence of God. So let me get, thirdly, times of refreshing will come. So let's get real pithy here on a Wednesday. How does that work? What does it look like? Well, come on, if right now I come and I say, "Lord, search my heart and know me. Lord, cleanse me. I don't think I've done any big, bad, terrible thing, I think." But even if I had or haven't, it's not my opinion of myself that justifies me. It's the blood of Jesus that justifies me. So actually having that thing that says, "Lord, cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart from everything, if you will, that is not you. And Lord, I turn afresh to you this day." And secondly, I believe that I'm in the presence of God right now. And I'm, rather than saying, "God, send your presence, send your presence," faith says, "Lord, I thank you. I'm in your presence right now. Thank you, Jesus. I am in your glory. I'm in your Shekinah glory, your glorious presence right now. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. And I begin thanking him and enjoying that. Whenever we're asking God to bring us into his presence, it's like a dog chasing its tail. You already have a tail. You're already in the presence of God. Begin to believe it and thank it and experience it. And lastly, this is such a great key if you can grab this, practice the presence of the Lord. Brother Lawrence wrote that book centuries ago, Practicing the Presence of the Lord. And by that, I mean, I would come back to that verse in Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. You know, our biggest challenge is that we don't set the Lord always before us. We set Netflix before us, or we set our ministry before us, or our kids before us, or our workload, or our frustrations before us, or our worries and fears and insecurities always before us. We should set the Lord always before us. Yeah, I like to do it this way. I literally have an Apple Watch here. I recommend them. And I can set my watch, little flick of a switch here, to buzz silent, to vibrate silently every 15 minutes. Now, this is just me, okay? But what I will do is about every 15 minutes, I set the Lord before me. By that I mean every, 15 minutes-ish, I take a little second and I say, Lord, I love you. I acknowledge him in all my ways, and he begins to direct my paths, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And most of us, we do love God, but our soul gets so far away from God. Every Sunday, I meet people whose souls haven't experienced God for at least a week, and they come in. 7 prayerless days makes 1 week. Very weak. And God wants to teach us to practice his presence. So I want to encourage you to try those things. Why don't you do that? Drop me a line. Let me know how it's going. Do be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. What I shared today will utterly change your life. Thanks for watching, guys. And look forward to seeing you real soon. Bye for now.